You don't normally clap for me. What is this? Is a special day or something? I don't know what's going on here today, but yeah, I guess it's my new haircut. Every time I start a new series now, I get a new cut. It's like when the finance minister releases the budget, he always gets a new pair of shoes. My new thing since COVID is I get a new cut for every new series. Well, it is so great to see you all back here today. You know, it's amazing how your perspective changes. Just over a year ago, if we had only 150 people here on a Sunday, I would feel so discouraged and like we were failing, and God, what is happening? Today we have 150 people in the building, and I feel like we're in the middle of revival. So this is amazing. It's so good to see some faces out there, some that I haven't seen for a long time. Welcome back to church. Make sure you're loud this morning, okay? Because it has been dead in here for a long time, and I've been craving some feedback. So even if there's nothing I'm saying that's really hitting you, just give me at least a token shout today and pretend that something's happening. For those of you that are watching online today, we're still glad that you're tuning in with us, but I want to tell you something. It is so much better here in the building. And so if you're in Regina, we want you to come back. We miss you. As soon as you feel comfortable, we want you here. There's something about worshiping God together, side by side. You know, this word together is one that's been mentioned a fair amount in our church lately. Of course, we just had our Global Impact celebration a few weeks ago, and the theme of the celebration was this word together, and we heard some great stories of what is accomplished when we come together as a people. But I want to talk about it a little bit more over these next couple weeks, because I feel like today really is the start of us coming back together. And of course, I'm talking about us physically coming back together in terms of the fact that we can come out of our homes and worship in one location. But that's actually only one side of coming back together. I feel like today needs to be a day where not only do we start coming back together physically, but also in terms of uniting together in love and in purpose. This year, as you know, has brought more isolation to our lives, I think, than ever before. And now I've only been living 46 years on the planet. Some of you have been around longer than that. But in my lifetime, I don't ever remember a time feeling as isolated as I felt this last year. We've been physically disconnected, but along with that, I see a growing disconnection or division happening in regards to opinions, attitudes, and ultimately, because of that, relationships. I think you would agree with me that our world seems to be more divided than it's ever been. It seems like there are so many strong opinions on so many issues, and we have all these verbal bullets and bombs that are flying or in the air. There's a lot of shrapnel that's going around, and people are being hit, and people are being wounded by this, and people's mental health is suffering. Is that me? Am I banging something? All right. If I'm doing something wrong, you guys tell me. You know, there probably isn't one of us here or listening today who hasn't experienced some of these bullets that have hit you. You've probably launched a few bullets and bombs, maybe not even intending to, but it's happened. It would be wonderful if I could say, thank God that this is only happening outside the church. Oh, just in case.
No.
All right, technical difficulties. I was saying there probably isn't one of us here today or who's been listening who hasn't experienced some of these hits, maybe launched a bullet or two. And it sure would be wonderful if we could say, thank God, this only happens outside of the church. But inside of the church. It's all just beautiful and wonderful and united. We're all together. But of course, you know that's not true. And I want to be honest with you, as I look at some of what's happening in the world today, and what's happening particularly in the church, I'm talking in general terms, but I'm sure we could say even within our own church, I'm concerned. And when I read the scriptures, what I see is that this is a main concern for our Heavenly Father as well. And so my hope today and next week as we talk about this is that we would concern ourselves with that which concerns God. And that we would remind ourselves of some things. And that perhaps we would take responsibility for some things we need to take responsibility for and commit to being a part of the solution and not the problem. Today I want to spend my time talking about why being united is so important. And then next week we're going to move into some more practicality about the how. Why is coming together and being united so important? I'm just going to focus on one main reason today, and I've already alluded to it. And that's the fact that this is a big deal to God. In the Gospel of John, John records a prayer for us. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed, and he prayed this prayer right after he gave his disciples some final instructions at the Last Supper. There's several chapters that are devoted to some of the teaching that Jesus gave in this moment to his disciples to prepare them for what was coming. And then after he sort of wraps up this teaching, he prays for his disciples specifically. And then he prays for you and me. He looks into the future and he prays for us as well. He begins in John 17, verse 11. He's praying for his disciples and he says, "Now I'm departing from the world. They are staying in this world. But I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them," talking about his disciples, "protect them by the power of your name so that they will be as united as we are." Heavenly Father, protect my guys, that they would be as united as we are. I find this to be an interesting line. Protect them by the power of your name so they'll be united as we are. Jesus is praying that they would be protected so they would remain united. Protected from who? A few verses later, in 14 to 18, he says, "I have given them your word." He's talking about those disciples again. "And the world hates them because they do not belong to this world, just as I don't belong to this world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from who? The evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into this world, I am sending them into this world." And as I read these passages, there's a couple thoughts that come to my mind. And the first thought is just how important unity was, that Jesus would pray for their protection so that they would remain united. The second thought is that Jesus recognized that the evil one would come after them because they didn't belong to this world and because he was sending them into this world to preach the gospel. How does the devil come after us? Well, there's many ways. But I want to suggest to you that one of the ways is through trying to get us tangled up in the things of this world that divide us while getting us to lose sight of the fact that we don't belong here. We're citizens of heaven. We have a mission. We have a calling. We have a mission to preach the gospel. We have a message that there is salvation found in Jesus Christ and in no other. Jesus wants us in the world. He didn't pray that the Father would take us out of the world. That's not where he wants us in the world. He doesn't want us to be afraid of this world. He wants us in the middle, but not tangled up. There's a difference. He wants us on mission.
And there are lots of things that can distract us and keep us from our calling and hinder the message of Jesus. And so Jesus was praying for protection from these things. And one of the things that he prayed protection for was against the things that would bring disunity. And so then, as he finishes praying for those disciples that were sitting at his table, he turns and he begins to pray for you. And he begins to pray for me. And he says this in verse 20. I'm not praying only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one. This is you and me. Just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I'm in you. And may they be in us so that the, notice this, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me. Why? So that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. And that you love them as much as you love me. There's a cry that's coming from the heart of Jesus. God, protect my disciples. Protect the followers that are coming when they hear the message so that they will be united as you and I are united so that the world will know that I'm really the one that you sent. That the world will know that you love them as much as you love me. This was where the prayer came from Jesus. It was from his mission that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That his mission, the very reason why he came to the cross, would be fulfilled. That there would be none lost. That all would come to the saving knowledge of who he is. That was his cry for unity. Why he prayed. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew the tactics of the enemy. He knew what the enemy would try to do. I want to suggest to you that perhaps the greatest strategy of the enemy to stop the church from fulfilling the mission of Jesus is to divide us. Jesus said these words in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Sorry, Mark chapter 3, verse 24. A kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. Now, I realize that the context of these words was Jesus responding to the Pharisees. He had just cast out some demons, and they were trying to say that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of the devil, which makes no sense. And Jesus was saying, come on, a kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. That was the context. But the statement applies to what we're talking about here this morning. We are the family of God. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. How many strong churches have lost their influence over feuding and division that has led to splits? It happens all too often, sadly. And there's so much pain and destruction that happens in these situations. There is so much momentum lost. You know, we just, as you know, celebrated our 15th annual Global Impact Celebration. 15 years. Yeah, it's been amazing. But I can tell you from 15 years of doing the Global Impact Celebration, from doing this ministry, that there is something that happens, I think, without fail, every year in the weeks leading up to the Global Impact and even in the weeks that follow. It's something that has that happens so regularly that we've often talked about it as a pastoral staff in terms of praying about it, reminding ourselves to watch out for it. I didn't do that this year, and it was a mistake. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that all hell seems to break loose in relationships around this time. Now, I understand that there's always relationship issues in a church. Where a church is full of people. When you have people, you got relationship issues. But there is something that becomes magnified at this time of the year. And I'm not one to say there's a devil in everything. In fact, sometimes I think the devil gets more credit than he deserves. But because it has been so tangibly noticeable, we've noticed it. It's like there's something in the air. It's like the air becomes ripe for offense and misunderstanding. And I find myself in these times, it's like the bait to take an offense is just like right there and it looks so good. And I want to bite into it and get mad. I just find that there's something in me that just wants to, just a heightened sense of get angry, get offended. And I also find that I can offend people really bad at this time without even intending. There's just a sensitivity. And I've been a victim and I've been a cause. And so I've often warned our staff to be careful, to be on guard in this time. Why is this? I'm convinced that what we do at the Global Impact Celebration is at the center of the heart of God. Preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth, showing his love to the poor and the broken is the mission that Jesus has called us to. And so as a result, there is nothing that this church does that gets the devil more upset than the Global Impact Celebration. It gets his attention, and he opposes it bitterly. The scripture says about Joseph. Joseph's father was singing over him in Genesis 49. He says, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. Church, when we start bearing fruit to the point that our branches are going outside of these four walls and extending over the wall, I'll tell you, there's some bitter opposition that comes. There's some arrows that get fired. And those arrows are often coming through words that are spoken. Isn't it true that often it's the things that we hear that feel like arrows shot right into our hearts? Every one of us has experienced those arrows. They can have such power over us if we let them. They can cause such deep wounding within us. They can cause these powerful emotions to arise in us. Church, we need to be so careful that we don't allow the enemy's arrows to silence us. That we don't allow the enemy's arrows to offend us. To cause offense to rise within us. We also need to be so careful that we don't become tools in the hands of the enemy. I'll tell you, God has a plan for your life and so does the devil. The devil wants you to be a tool in his hand. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he uses people to accomplish his mission. Jesus came to give life and to give it to the full, and he uses people to accomplish his mission. Whose tool are you going to be? Whose weapon are you going to be? What happens when we receive an arrow that's fired at us, whether intentionally or not? The enemy of our souls comes to us in these moments with a suggestion. You've been hit. You're under attack. Fire back. Launch a response arrow. Why? Because he wants to start a war. He wants many casualties. He wants a civil war. A house divided against itself cannot stand. We know that Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. James said these words, a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes these grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in His very image. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. It's not right. How can you praise the Lord with the same mouth that you curse the very creation He made? Curse the very one He loves. Curse the very one He died for and gave His life for. It makes no sense, James says. It's not right. Church, I want to ask you some questions. In this time of deep division, in this time of strong opinions, in this time of global upheaval, are we life givers or are we bringing death? Are we blessing or are we cursing? Are we agents of healing and reconciliation in grace? Or are we cursing and shaming and condemning those who are made in the image of God and who are loved deeply by Him? Do we praise our Father and curse our brother with the same mouth? Are we as concerned about unity as Jesus was? Do we care about the gospel as much as Jesus does? Or are we caught up and tangled up in things that don't matter? Have we lost sight of what's most important? These are sobering questions that I think we need to be asking ourselves in this time. It's interesting, if you read through the letters of Paul, and I've been reading through them just in my daily devotion, I've been reading them out loud, just one chapter at a time, and just chewing on them and loving it. And I see this concern that was in Jesus for unity reflected in almost every epistle that Paul wrote. One time in his letter to the Corinthians, he rebukes them because of the disputes that they were having with one another. And their disputes were boiling over to the fact that Christians were taking other Christians to court and being judged by secular judges in court, and all this in front of unbelievers. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5, is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers, but instead one brother takes another brother to court, and this in front of unbelievers? The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? He's saying, it doesn't even matter what the courts decide. You've lost. Paul is looking at this through the mission that we've been called to. The mission to preach the gospel. And he said, you've gotten so tangled up. Man, you're fighting in front of the very people that you're trying to reach. You've lost. In Paul's mind, it was better to be wronged and cheated than the message of the gospel be undermined. Why? Because we don't belong to this world. We're living for a greater purpose. We have a greater cause. It's the kingdom of God. We're not building our own kingdoms. We're building one kingdom for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords. And because we've been forgiven the greatest debt on earth, we are to operate in the same spirit of grace and forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, I know God is a God of justice, and there's some tensions in these verses that we can wrestle with, but don't miss the heart behind it. Don't miss why Paul said what he said, why Jesus prayed what he prayed. Don't be ignorant of the devil's schemes, as the scripture says. Church, there is so much more I could say on why unity is important, but today I just wanted us to focus and understand how paramount this is to God, because disunity stands in the way of his mission. And so as we come back together, as we live in this world of opinions, can we pause? Can we ask ourselves, if the things that we are saying, if the things that we are typing on our keyboards, are they helping the cause of Christ or are they hindering it? Are they bringing more unity or less? I'm not saying don't have opinions, but we need to ask ourselves, are we expressing the opinions that we have in a spirit of grace and in a spirit of humility? I feel like there's something in the air globally right now. I talked about what I feel is in the air lots of times around Global Impact Celebration. I feel like there's something in the air globally. The spirit of division is at work. Who's behind it? The devil. That's why Jesus prayed. The air is ripe for offense. The air is ripe for bitterness. The air is ripe for anger. Church, have discernment. Recognize the spirit behind it all. Recognize it's why Jesus prayed what he prayed. Recognize why Paul said in Ephesians 6 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Church, remember who your enemy is. He's not the one sitting beside you this morning. That's not your enemy. Don't allow yourself to become a tool in the devil's hands, to take the bait, to get offended, to get bitter at those who are, perhaps without even recognizing it. Church, it's time to come together. It's time to plug in again. It's time to volunteer again. It's time to get involved again. We have a mission to accomplish. We have a world to reach. But let's come together in love, in grace, in humility, in unity. Next week, I want to take the time to just dive into this a little bit more practically. Can we have difference of opinion and still have unity? I believe that we can. I believe that we can. And I just want to talk next week on a practical level, just some help to help us in this regard. But my whole goal today was to just express what I believe is the heart of God, that we would remember what our mission is and who our enemy is, and remember what is the most important. Is that all right? Let's pray together as we close. Father, we just thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your great mercy for us, your grace for us. I thank you, Lord, that you just have overlooked and taken care of so many offenses and sins in our lives against you.
you've just poured out mercy and grace upon us. And Lord, because of this, you've called us to be agents of grace and mercy and healing and restoration. Lord, you prayed that we would be undivided. And yet, Lord, we see the hand of the enemy amongst us. We see these things in our own spirits that aren't right. And we see where we've become, where we've taken the bait and where we've gotten tangled. Lord, would you untangle us today? Would you forgive us today? Would you help us today to shine bright in a world of darkness? Would you help us to carry a different spirit? Lord, I pray that as the city looks at us, I'm praying specifically for Harvest City Church this morning. Lord, we are just one faction of the body of Christ, but we pray for ourselves specifically this morning. Lord, I pray that in this community, in this city, wherever we are represented, that our co-workers, our neighbors would look at us and say, I see the love of Jesus in them. I see evidence of the love of God in them. I see the reality of Jesus in the way they love one another. They could only love each other like that if they had experienced a greater love. What is that love? God, help us to carry the message by the way we live our lives. Let our lives line up with the gospel that we preach. Lord, let our mouths not be ones that bless you and curse our brother with the same tongue. We repent of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.